Hello, and a very warm welcome to the Tuts Experience podcast here on the Tuts Network and also the Trending Topics Network. My name is, of course, Kieran Tuttit, and welcome to episode 60, our first episode of 2017. And you know what? I love saying 17. I'm a big lover of the number 7. There's no real particular reason, but I think it's just because the greatness that it is, that it's the only number in the single digits which has two syllables in it when you say it. 7. Yes. So there you go. That's I think that's probably why I do like it, actually. Yes. But we're starting on this week, and it's only this episode and this year here on the Tuts Experience with a bit of a positive attitude. Not forgetting, we are obviously not going to forget what happened in 2016, sadly, because we got to live through it. Like Trump becoming Prime Minister. Heaven forbid he can stay President of the United States, actually. But as of this moment and today, Sunday the 8th of January, he's still President-elect, but he will be President, what, how many time days now? I think it's 14 days now. On the 22nd? Oh dear. Something like that. It's in the 20s, I think, from what I can remember. Yes. And obviously we got Brexit. Oh, how exciting. Where the UK is just going to float away off into the Atlantic. And hopefully we don't bump into Iceland. Heaven forbid. Or sink like the Titanic. You never know. Oh dear. Right, well, we're not going to be fully on politics this week, guys, because that'd be crazy and a bit sad, really. But what we'll do, as ever, what we usually do, is we'll take a look at a WWE professional wrestler. It could be from the present, or it could be from the past. You never know. And also, we're going to be looking at a Eurovision retro review. We'll review a year of the Eurovision Song Contest at random. We'll find something. And we'll talk about it and have a bit of a giggle. And we'll be playing some songs from that said contest too. And we'll be probably be playing the live renditions of that contest as well. Just see, while you're there, you got your earplugs in, or you're in your car driving somewhere, probably somewhere luxurious, or maybe even going to work. You never know. Or you could be on a plane listening to this. Oh, going to somewhere nice and hot or somewhere really cold. You can be locked into that said contest. You could be in the arena. You could be watching it on television and watching the Eurovision Song Contest. And that's what it's all about here. Getting you locked in and basically having a taster of what my life may have in store and what it does have in store and what it's like at the moment, to be fair. Got lots of exciting things for me going on very soon, actually. On Friday the 13th of January, I am off to see Magnus Carlsson in the Royal Vauxhall Tavern in the centre of London, in Vauxhall itself, on the other side of the water from the Houses of Parliament in Westminster. Yes, I cannot wait to see him. Magnus Carlsson is a big, famous Swedish singer. He was he's very famous for his single songs, of course, but also as part of the group Barbados in the early 2000s, and also Alcazar. So there you go. And Alcazar had a big hit here in the United Kingdom with a song called Crying at the Discotheque. And we'll be playing that in just a few moments. And also, Magnus Carlsson, as I said, has had lots of single songs. So, yes, I'm going up there. The night goes from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. And I was slightly concerned because I find it I struggle to even get to midnight these days, particularly as we just had New Year. And Rob went to bed at 10:30 and couldn't stay up till to the midnight. So I don't know how I'm going to be doing it. But I think it will be due to adrenaline, excitement, and dancing along to Eurovision music in the Royal Vauxhall Tavern with my Eurovision friends, which I'm incredibly looking forward to. My close friends up in Ipswich, Daniel and Alan, I'm so looking forward to seeing them and partying on out with a couple of G&Ts. And And also, lovely Jamie Harris is coming too. And Jamie came to Eurovision with me in Sweden, in Stockholm last year in 2016, and also to Vienna. So we had a lovely time together as well. So I've got that to look forward to. And obviously myself and Rob and everybody, all of the Eurovision fans, which is a good thing, of course, seems to be ascending onto the Hammersmith Apollo, now the Eventium Apollo, for Eurovision You Decide. It's the United Kingdom's national final. And by the way, guys, tickets are available still right now.
We've counted and verified the results. I can now reveal that the winner and the UK representative for Eurovision 2016 is Joe and Jake.
The national selection show Eurovision You Decide is back again on Friday the 27th of January. Superfan Mel Gedroych will be presenting live from London's world-famous Hammersmith Apollo. A nail-biting night of performances. Six songs battling out for the chance to represent the UK at the Eurovision Song Contest in Kiev next year, Ukraine. And as if that wasn't enough, I can now announce the first musical guest. It's 2009 Eurovision winner Alexander Rybak. And to top it off, you can be there in person to share in this evening. Tickets are available to buy now. Go to bbc.co.uk/Eurovision for all the details. Eurovision You Decide on the 27th of January 2017, live from Hammersmith Apollo. If you want to buy tickets, it's bbc.co.uk/Eurovision.
Indeed. So make sure you get yourself there if you haven't got tickets already. Now, as I've said before on this podcast, oh dear, if you have never been to a Eurovision contest, it is like an atmosphere like no other. If you love music, you will love going to the Eurovision Song Contest because the atmosphere is electric. It's incredible. It's like when I went to NXT TakeOver London, I think everybody just got, even if they weren't pro wrestling fans, they just went ape crazy. Except for Rob, who was a bit like, oh, right, okay, what's going on? And I had to explain to him most of the time, which is, bless him, it's fair enough, but yeah, it was quite annoying. Anyways, right, as promised, let's hear the song from Alcazar, featuring Magnus Carlsson, who I'm seeing on Friday. It's called Crying at the Discotheque. This is very popular all over the world, Europe, and also here in the United Kingdom.
Spin me.
there you go. The Germans loved it. Yes, that was live from RTL in 2004. That was Alcazar with Crying at the Discotheque. And it, yes, as I said earlier, it did pretty well in the charts right across the world. Got 14 in Australia, 14 in Austria, 2 in the Flanders Ultra Top 150 in Belgium. In Wallonia, in Belgium, it got to number 11, number 9 in Canada, 14 in Finland, 64 in France, number 3 in Germany, number 6 in Ireland, number 4 in Italy, number 14 in the Netherlands, number 16 in Spain, sadly only number 29 in Sweden, shockingly. Switzerland got to number 7. Here in the United Kingdom, it got to number 13. It's still played on the radio still to this day. And on the US Billboard Hot Dance Club play, it got to number 44. Yes, well, it's interesting that Sophie Ellis Bextor has performed this too on one of her tours. And also Segi Ray. But I don't know who Segi Ray is. But it's been noted here on Wikipedia. But there you go. Right. There we go. So, I hope you've had a great time since I last spoke to you. And a great Christmas. Happy New Year to you all as well. I hope I can still say it now, even though it's the 8th of January. But to be honest, I haven't spoken to you since, have I? No. But basically, for the last few days, I've been wanting to go out on my bike. Over this weekend, and really it's the weather's been grey, gloomy, foggy, misty and wet, and a lot of rain, certainly yesterday on Saturday, and today hasn't been greater. So I've got a lot of new cycling gear as well, so I'm ready to go and look like a road racer, to be honest. A fat one. No laughing, thank you. Just feel sorry for me. Wish me luck. But I lost a pound and a half at Slimming World this week, so I'm very chuffed about that. Hopefully I can continue this. I had a bit of a naughty day yesterday, so hopefully for the rest of the week I'll be able to turn it around. Turn it around, ladies and gentlemen, yes. But, yeah, other than that, you know, everything's good with me. Yeah. But I want to start going out with a bike ride, but the weather's been crap. It really has been, and it's been pretty cold. I have actually bought myself a jacket to go with my cycling stuff, so I can keep warm. But most of Europe has had huge, deadly ice spells, which has gripped much of Europe, including the Greek islands and the Eastern Mediterranean. It's crazy. Italy saw ferries and flights cancelled recently, and schools in the south are expected to close tomorrow on Monday, where Turkey has also been affected. The Bosporus was closed to shipping as the heavy snowstorm hit Istanbul. And the Bosporus is the river that links the Black Sea and the Adriatic Sea. I'm sure it's the Adriatic or the Mediterranean. Mediterranean, yes. At least 10 people died of the cold in Poland, and night temperatures in Russia have plunged to minus 35. Unbelievable. Normally, the mild country of Greece has witnessed temperatures of minus 15 in the north, where an Afghan migrant died of the cold last week as the roads were closed as well. Macedonia has been heavily hit as well, as Romania and Serbia. In Athens, the temperatures failed to rise above 0 degrees recently, and several of the islands were covered in snow. Some of the Greek islands are home to thousands of migrants, as I mentioned just now, and many are being moved to temporary housing in heated tents. Heated tents are not very good at all. Homeless hostels in Italy are opening their doors again today and during the night, as the weather has been blamed for the deaths of several people. 5 of them are living out in the open. But airports like Sicily, Bari, and also Brindisi have been closed on Saturday. Rome, too, saw freezing temperatures. And Russia expected to have its coldest Orthodox Christmas in 120 years. Prague has had the coldest night of the winter so far, Czech officials say, with 3 deaths reported and 2 of them are homeless people. Reports from Bulgaria say 2 Iraqi migrants were found dead in the forest in the southeast of the country, and the cold weather is expected to continue for much of Europe over the weekend. Pretty scary stuff, but obviously, folks, you can catch up with all of this news on the awesome bbc.co.uk website. Oh, obviously, we had some really sad celebrity deaths ending out 2016. Not only George Michael, but Carrie Fisher and her mother, Debbie Reynolds. Carrie Fisher has been laid to rest today alongside her mother, Debbie Reynolds, at a private service where her ashes were carried in an urn in the form of an outsized Prozac pill. That is quite strange. But the US actress, best known for her role as Princess Leia in the Star Wars films, was frequently open to her experience with mental health issues. "I felt it was where she wanted to be," said her brother Todd Fisher. Fisher, 60, and Reynolds, 84, died within a day each other last month in December, following a joint funeral service at the Forest Lawn Memorial Park in Hollywood Hills, Los Angeles. Todd Fisher said a giant pill in the shape of an antidepressant drug was chosen as the urn for his sister's ashes because it was one of Carrie's favorite possessions. "She loved it. It was in her house, and Billy, Carrie Fisher's daughter, and I felt it was the way that she wanted it to be." He added, "Fisher and her mother were now together and will be together in heaven, of course." As many of you guys know, I'm sure Carrie Fisher suffered with depression, so, you know, maybe there is a slight joke to it, but it's so very, very sad. People who went to go to the famous people who went to the funeral service included Meryl Streep, Jamie Lee Curtis, and Gwyneth Paltrow. Of course, Courtney Love, Ed Bengali, and Candice Bergen, and Ellen Barkin. Oh dear, but yes, so sad, but I don't want to go on about that too much, guys. But what I really want to do now is to play you a song from the late, great George Michael. He was one of my favourite singers of all time. I love him and I love his music, and what he's done for charity is just incredible. If you've not known about what he does for charity, you must read up about it. It is stunning. So here is one of my favourite George Michael songs of all time. I do hope you enjoy this.
Monkey see, a monkey do, their wishes your
Might have to be something to do with that saxophone. I absolutely adore that song. That's Cowboys and Angels by George Michael. Incredible. Now, that song didn't do particularly well in the charts here in the UK, but its best placing was in the Netherlands, where it came 10th in their charts. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. I just think that's absolutely beautiful. And I hope you don't mind that now it's about 7-ish minutes long. I just think it was beautiful. And I think the music really just works so well with George Michael's beautiful voice and the lyrics, of course. Yes. Right. Now, what we're going to do now is focus on a WWE professional wrestler. Now, he could be from the past, or so it would be the WWF, or it could be from the present. So this is, ladies and gentlemen, mesdames et messieurs, my madame, Alt meine Herren. My German's worse. Right, this is who we are looking at today.
The World Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Yes, that is right. We're going to take a look at the Road Dog Jesse James, i.e., Brian Gerard BJ James. Born on May the 20th, 1969, he is an American professional wrestler and former United States Marine, currently signed to the WWE as a producer and occasional wrestler. Now, yes, he was born in Marietta, Georgia, in the United States. He is currently 47. He currently resides in Jay, Florida, in the United States. He has three kids. He comes with various names as BJ James, also Brian Armstrong, The Dark Secret, Jesse James Armstrong, The Road Dog, and The Roadie. He is 6'3". My gosh, he's about the same height as me. His weight is 241 pounds, 109 kilograms. There we are. And he made his debut in 1986. He's been trained by Bob Armstrong, Brad Armstrong, and Paul Orndorff. Now, James is best known for his initial tenure with the World Wrestling Federation as the Roadie from 1994 until 1995, and as the Road Dog Jesse James from 1996 to 2001. He's also known for his appearance with a Total Nonstop Action TNA as BG James. I've been saying BJ, that's rude, sorry. How embarrassing. From 2002 to 2009, and has also made appearances for several other promotions, such as Smoky Mountain Wrestling, World Championship Wrestling, the United States Wrestling Association, Catch Wrestling Association, and World Wrestling All-Stars. Now, James has held numerous championships over the course of his 30-year career in the WWF/WWE. He found his greatest success as a tag team wrestler and is a six-time tag team champion, having won the World Tag Team titles in the WWE five times and the WWE Tag Team Championship once with Billy Gunn as part of the New Age Outlaws, who became part of D-Generation X. Additionally, James found success in the singles competition and becoming a one-time World Wrestling Federation Intercontinental Champion and also a one-time World Wrestling Federation Hardcore Champion. Following his departure from the World Wrestling Federation, James became the inaugural World Wrestling All-Stars, the WWA World Heavyweight Champion. Before once again finding success as a tag team wrestler in TNA, where he was a two-time NWA World Tag Team Champion with Conan and Ron Killings under the Freebird rule as the Three Live Crew. James also twice competed for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship on pay-per-view. WWE commentator JBL, John Bradshaw Layfield, charted James's transition from as the cornerstone of the Attitude Era and one of the greatest stars and one of its architects to one of the prime creative forces behind the WWE. James is a second generation wrestler with his father Bob wrestled, as well as his brothers Scott, Brad, and Steve. And we all know Scott Armstrong as a very well-known WWE referee, of course. Oh dear. Now, this is the interesting bit, going to the WWF. And now that's where we're going to concentrate on a bit more, because that's where I've got a bit of knowledge. Now, after defeating Barry Hardy in a dark match on August the 16th, 1994, episode of WWF Wrestling Challenge, James signed to the World Wrestling Federation towards the end of 1994. He was billed as the Roadie, an assistant to Double J, Jeff Jarrett, a would-be country singer. He wrestled on several pay-per-view and television shows, but most of his WWE tenure was spent accompanying Jeff Jarrett and interfering in his matches. In early 1995, Jeff Jarrett released a song, With My Baby Tonight, which Jarrett claimed he had sung himself. The planned angle was to reveal that it was actually the roadie, not Jarrett, who had already performed the vocals to the song, sparked a feud between the two wrestlers. Before the revelation could take place, James and Jarrett suddenly left the WWF following the second In Your House pay-per-view on the July 23rd, 1995. After leaving the WWF, James joined the United States Wrestling Association under the ring name Jesse Armstrong James alongside Jarrett, where he won its heavyweight, television, and world tag team championships after losing a Luva Leaves Town match to Jarrett. Now, James, without Jarrett, returned to the World Wrestling Federation in 1996 under the ring name Jesse James, where he revealed himself as the real Double J, the true singer of With My Baby Tonight. He languished in the undercard singles wrestler until beginning a feud with the Honky Tonk Man. After denying Honky Tonk Man's offer at becoming his manager by destroying his guitar, James also began feuding with the Honky Tonk Man's protege, Rockabilly. After trading wins against each other on pay-per-view and on television, James, now referring to himself as the Road Dog Jesse James, or simply the Road Dog, suggested to Rockabilly that they should form a tag team in order to end the unsuccessful runs as their singles competitors. A change in the creative direction of the WWF in the late 1997 led Rockabilly to accept James' offer and subsequently attacking the Honky Tonk Man with his own guitar to cement the alliance. Soon after, Rockabilly reverted to his Billy Gunn ring name and adopted the nickname Badass, while Road Dogg began to grow out his braided long hair. Short hair, shall I say. In addition to these various small changes, really, their mannerisms became consistently more controversial and antisocial, with the team ultimately being known as the New Age Outlaws. Following their victory over the Legion of Doom and their first tag team championship, the Outlaws would continue a feud with the Legion of Doom and later the short-lived tag team of Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie, aka Terry Funk, before joining D-Generation X the night after WrestleMania 14 on Monday Night Raw. The Outlaws outmatched five tag team championship reigns and managed to become singles champions while still together. The Road Dogg and Billy Gunn were each winning the Hardcore Championship once in 1998 and 1999, respectively, while the Road Dogg went on to win the Intercontinental Championship in 1999. The team came to an end when Gunn was legitimately injured in early 2000, and to explain the absence needed for the recovery, Gunn was expelled from DX due to losing his temper. James then teamed off with fellow DX member X-Pac throughout the summer of 2000 and failed to regain any championship success. The team eventually split, with Road Dogg and X-Pac subsequently feuding with each other before the entirety of DX fell apart. Road Dogg then formed a tag team with newcomer K-Quick, as we know, R-Truth. He completed in his last televised match on December the 18th of 2000. He was indefinitely suspended and later released from his contract in January 2001 due to personal problems. On March the 26th, 2001, James arrived at the final WCW Monday Nitro taping at Panama, Florida, in order to renegotiate the return of World Championship Wrestling, only to find out that the promotion had been purchased by the WWF, ruling out both companies as employment options. So there you go. That is the Road Dogg. But on April 2nd, 2001, James returned to the WWE for the first time in over a decade to induct his father, Bullet Bob Armstrong, to the company's Hall of Fame. Several months later, James announced on October the 11th via his Facebook account that he re-signed with the WWE as an agent and would return to the company in his new role on October the 23rd at the Vengeance pay-per-view. After a 10-long-year absence, James returned to WWE television on December the 2nd, episode of Raw under his name, Road Dogg, in the ring to present CM Punk with a Slammy Award for Pipe Bomb of the Year. On January 29th, 2012, Road Dogg entered the Royal Rumble at number 23 and nearly lasted about 5 minutes after being eliminated by Wade Barrett. Following this, he began hosting a WWE.com and YouTube series with Are You Serious? Alongside Josh Matthews, which was quite funny, actually. On July the 23rd, Road Dogg reunited with Billy Gunn, Sean Waltman, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H to reform D-Generation X for one night only on the 1000th episode of Monday Night Raw. On the December the 17th episode of Raw, he and Billy Gunn appeared together on the New Age Outlaws to present the Slammy Award for Comeback of the Year to Jerry Lawler after he had that heart attack, didn't he, on stage. Now, on March the 4th, 2013, episode of Monday Night Raw, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn made their in-ring return as the New Age Outlaws with a victory over Primo and Epico. A week later, the New Age Outlaws competed against the Team Road Scholars, but the match was rendered a no contest after Brock Lesnar interrupted and performed an F5 to both Outlaws as part of his ongoing feud with Triple H. And on the December 9th episode of Raw, the New Age Outlaws appeared to present a Slammy Award again for the LOL moment of the year. On January the 6th, 2014, episode of Raw, the New Age Outlaws saved CM Punk from an assault by The Shield and later stood in Punk's corner during his match against Roman Reigns. Later that week on SmackDown, they teamed alongside Punk to face The Shield in a six-man tag match. Although they were defeated after Gunn was pinned by Roman Reigns, on January the 13th episode of Raw, the New Age Outlaws and Punk faced The Shield in a rematch before abandoning Punk as he was about to tag them, turning both Outlaws heels in the process for the first time in over a decade. Later that week on SmackDown, the New Age Outlaws defeated the tag team champions, which was Goldust and Cody Rhodes, in a non-title match. And on January 26th of the Royal Rumble kickoff show, the New Age Outlaws defeated Rhodes and Goldust to win their first tag team championship and their sixth tag team championship. They held the title until March the 3rd episode of Monday Night Raw when they were defeated by the Usos. After losing the titles, the Outlaws allied themselves with Kane as part of the Authority to face The Shield at WrestleMania 13, but they were defeated in an incredibly quick match. Thereafter, James assumed his role as a producer while Gunn assumed his role as a trainer in NXT. And on the January 19th, 2015 episode of Monday Night Raw, the New Age Outlaws, alongside the Acolytes, Protected Agency, and the NWO, confronted the Ascension after they disrespected tag teams from the past. And 6 days later, the Outlaws challenged the Ascension to the Royal Rumble, but were defeated. James was recently given a very prominent position behind the scenes of WWE SmackDown Live. He's now the producer of the entire show and head of the creative team. Now, the Road Dogg's finisher was a pump handle falling power slam. He had other signature maneuvers like the big boot, the power bomb, pyro driver, DDT, belly to back suplex, a hip toss, lots of other things, a running knee drop with theatrics, yes. Of course, with Billy Gunn, they had the double team maneuvers, a double flapjack, spike pile driver. They used to give Mankind always the spike pile driver. It's always weird, but yeah, I've noticed that. They gave it to Kane once, and then Kane just sat right up. That was quite funny. Anyway, he's had various managers, including the Honky Tonk Man, as I say, Torrey, Harvey Whippleman. Oh, I don't remember that. I think it was during the DX 2000 times. Billy Gunn, and also China, God rest his soul. So, now, let's hear this song, which I haven't heard in ages, and I think it's going to make you all laugh. Enjoy.
Oh, you didn't know, you better call somebody. The D-O-double-G, it can't quit, get rowdy, rowdy. Come on. Yeah, we get rowdy. But the moves are fast. Come on. We get rowdy. But the moves are fast. Come on. Yeah, we get rowdy. But the moves are fast. Real G, then we about to get rowdy. You better have somebody stepping through the dust of the mist and fall.
No damn got a body change, we can roll dog.
Getting rowdy, about to move some things.
Being rolled off with the trash and change.
Check yourself and realize we're all back.
If you step your ass up and get your
head right back.
No doubt about it,
bring the truth on the back.
Put the other play out, what's the rest?
We'll pick your ass up and go to the ring. Coming to Real G, when you realize that we get rowdy.
I think in the business we call that hot mess. Yes. Kay Quick and the Road Dog Jesse James. Getting rowdy. Awkward. But that was the WWE in 2000. Such fun. Righty-ho. Now, it's time for us to have a bit of music and take a look at a Eurovision Song Contest from the past, and this is what we're going to be looking at as well. And it's the 1995 Eurovision Song Contest from Dublin, Ireland.
Ireland, come dance with me in Ireland.
Let us go into the tree and look at the garden sun.
Here come the good times. good afternoon to you.
Sur des chansons, sur des, me.
Yes, and there's a small recap of the previous winners before the 1995 Eurovision Song Contest. Well, it was the 40th anniversary, believe it or not. It was held on the 13th of May 1995 in the Point Theatre, Dublin, as now known as the Point Theatre is now known as the O2. If I can remember, it's now known as the 3 Arena. It used to be known as the O2 Dublin. It was presented by Mary Kennedy, and this year's competition was the last one only to have one host until 18 years later, until 2013, in Malmö, Sweden, with Petr Mede. Now, this contest broke a chain of victories that Ireland enjoyed from 92, 93, and 94. This was Ireland's first year in succession to host the contest, and to mark the 40th show, it opened with a 4-minute retrospect showing images from the contest's history, and the Norwegian group Secret Garden was the winner of the contest with a mostly instrumental song, Nocturne. Accidentally, Secret Garden's violinist Fionnuala Sherry, she was Irish. Two of Ireland's winners attended the contest. Dana, who was Ireland's first Eurovision winner, winning the contest in 1970 with the song All Kinds of Everything. And Mr. Eurovision herself, Johnny Logan, winning the contest as a singer in 1980 and in 1987. And also for writing Linda Martin's 1992 song, Why Me. It was his birthday that night, according to host Mary Kennedy. He wouldn't say which one, nevertheless, the audience sang Happy Birthday to him, assisted by the orchestra. After winning the 1994 contest, RTE were worried about whether they could afford to host the third transition contest. The BBC had offered to take the responsibility of hosting the contest and had even proposed that the contest would be staged in a joint production in Belfast, the capital of Northern Ireland. In the end, RTE decided to stage the contest on its own. However, they did ask the EBU that, should Ireland win once more, that they would not expect to host a contest for a fourth year in a row. The favourite for the bookmakers was Sweden, with a pop ballad, Siepa Me, by Jan Johansson. Other countries in contention for the win were Croatia, Denmark, Israel and Spain, and the eventual winner, Norway. The winning song was something new at Eurovision in that it only contained 24 words, accompanied by a long violinist solo. Now, the United Kingdom's contribution was a very modern rap number, while the previous entry runners up Poland went for something completely contrast with their debut entry, and it was something very avant-garde. Now, after the voting was completed, Norway was the winner with 148 points, followed by Spain's Vela Conmigo with 119 points, and Sweden gaining 100 points. The stage was designed by Alan Fuakarsson, who designed the set also for the 93 contest, which took place in Miller Street, Ireland. Although it was quite dark and often gloomy in appearance, it did formed the base for a spectacular opening, while by the giant screen rotated to reveal the presenter, who descended a stairway which ultimately disappeared to allow for an arrow-shaped stage to come together amid fireworks. The interval act consisted of several well-known Irish performers, including Clannad and Brian Kennedy, who went on to represent Ireland 11 years later in 2006 with the song Every Song is a Cry for Love in Athens, Greece. And it was composed by leading musician Michael Shabolyapan. I probably completely murdered that, and I should know better because I am Irish. Dearie me. Now, the EBU decreased its number of participants back to 23 to make sure that the show didn't last longer than 3 hours. Five of the six countries that were relegated from the previous year came back to the contest. Luxembourg decided to stop participating completely, and Italy withdrew voluntarily, as in 1994. There was much speculation in Ireland as to whether RTE deliberately chosen a song perceived not to have a good chance in order to avoid hosting a contest for a fourth time in a row. Although this was never verified, this rumour did, however, inspire a very popular episode of Father Ted. In any event, RTE ended up hosting the contest once again in 1997. Indeed, they did. Okay, so, as I say, the contest was hosted by Mary Kennedy. We have returning countries of Belgium, Denmark, Israel, Slovenia, and Turkey. Withdrawing countries included Estonia, Finland, Lithuania, the Netherlands, Romania, Slovakia, and Switzerland. Okay, now, do you fancy listening to a few of the songs? Well, how about we have a bit of a quick recap of all 23 songs, and I'll tell you which country it is as we go through as well. Enjoy our ride through the 1995 Eurovision Song Contest. It's Poland, Justyna with the song Sama, coming 18th. It's Ireland, Freddie Friel, Dreamin', coming 14. Melodies of light when I'm dreaming. Dreaming, dreaming how I love this nowhere feeling. Round and round I go, showers of the Lord when I'm dreaming. Stone and Stone, Believe in Death, coming last, 23rd place. Bosnia-Herzegovina, Daporin Popovic, Dasta Prave Volje. 19th place. A sreći nema traga. Norway, Secret Garden, Nocturne, winning first place. Russia, Filip Kirkorov, Kelebolia, Dulia Volkana, coming 17th. It's Iceland, Bol Haldorsson, Luna, 15th place. It's Austria, Stella Jones, Die Welt war Haus im Brot, 13th place. Spain, Alabel Conde, Velia Conmigo, coming second. It's Turkey, Azur Is with Sev, coming 16th. It's Croatia, Magazine and Lydia with Nostalgia, coming sixth. La France, Nathalie Santa Maria, Il me donne un rendez-vous, coming fourth. Hungary, Kasabia, Gürtzi with Ug Feg Irishka Violun, coming 22nd. It's Belgium, Frédéric Lavoie Libre, coming 20th. It's the United Kingdom, Love City Groove with Love City Groove, coming 10th. It's Portugal, Tom Cruise, Banana e Chocolate, 21st place. Nosso amor é todo mar, tens perfume de luar, tenho gosto de café. Amada de branco capel, és nata no meu chamar, tem mais paladar que o mel, és a palha com chocolate. Gaivota branca foi achar naquelas terras mais a sul. Dinamite já não temo, desta terra procuro. Como se tem vista claro. In Cyprus, Alex Panayi, Steve Ortia, coming 9th. It's Sweden, Jan Johansson, Siepa Me, coming third. Denmark, Wood Vilken, from Mos to Skagen, coming fifth. Slovenia, Dalia Shvelia, Budushimi, coming seventh. Israel, it's Laura with Amen coming eighth. Malta, Mike Spiteri, Keep Me In Mind, coming 10th. And finally, Greece, Elena Kanstastopoulou with Pia Proseki in 12. What did you think of that? That was the 1995 Eurovision Song Contest. Now, I absolutely adore that contest. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Now, we're going to move on to something a little bit else, where we're going to be talking about my personal life, and then we're going to be hitting the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more. No, that's not the next song. But the next song comes from a singer from Ireland. She sadly passed away a few years ago. But it will bring on to one of my new loves and interests on YouTube. I want to go on to that. Not necessarily about the singer, but the subject. Okay. So here is the late great, and one of the most beautiful voices, I think, in the world ever, Kirsty MacColl.
Shiver in the naked trees, and I'll do anything, but please don't hurt me. Just kiss me quick, 'cause it's my birthday and I feel so small. I don't know why, but now I'm not too old to cry. An empty bench in Soho Square. If you'd have come, you'd have found me there, but you never did, 'cause you don't care. And I'm so sorry, baby. I don't mind loneliness too much, but when I met you, I was touched, and that was good enough for me. But do we always have to be sorry? Why can't we just be happy, baby? One day.
Soho Square from the amazing Kirsty MacColl. Oh, absolutely love that song. Really, really do. I just shared it on my Facebook page. Hopefully it will go off crazy. But basically, Kirsty's talking about London, and I've come across this YouTube channel called Londonist, LTD. And I've realised that I recognise the presenter who's on it most of, a lot of the time, called Jeff. And his real full name, if I can get it up, is called Jeff Marshall. Yeah, Jeff Marshall. That's the correct Jeff, isn't it? Yes. Now, Jeff Marshall, or at Twitter, on Twitter, at Jeff Tech, T-E-C-H, right? He is a big transport fan, and particularly of London. And it's fascinating to see, and to see him report on these various things in and around the capital, particularly about the London Underground. He's full of facts, etc. He's a big enthusiast of the London Underground in particular. And I remember him from years ago. I used to watch this show on Sky. I think it was on Sky 1 back in the day, on a Sunday afternoon or something like that, or Sky 2. It was called The Tube, and basically, they, Jeff and a friend of his tried to break the world record, I think, for visiting the all London Underground stations quicker than anybody else ever could ever. And it's just an amazing effort. And I remember his face. He's been on Sky One's Fanatics as well. That's a show that's going out still at the moment, I believe, on Sky, where fanatical people who have a huge hobby get to be tested upon it, and they win an ultimate prize of some sort. Really, really cool. So if you've got any time, guys, please do subscribe to his YouTube channel. It's called Londonist LTD, okay? And also it's Jeff Marshall on YouTube as well, and his channel is just called Jeff Marshall, or it's actually Jeff Tech 2. Okay, right. Other than that, guys, everything is very good with me personally. Myself and Rob are very looking forward to August, when we're getting married, of course, here in Fareham, or just outside in Titchfield, and we are so excited. Everything's ready, everything's booked. We just need to go and meet the registrar at some point soon, and book the DJ, and that's basically all we got to do. But I've got to make sure that my dad's doing that, because Dad offered to pay for it, which is very sweet of him. Other than that, things at work have been very tough this past week, going back after the Christmas break, but it's not necessarily just that, it's various other things too. So I'm finding it a bit tough and a bit stressful at the moment, if I'm honest. And I've been a little bit lazy this weekend in regards to my exercise regime. But but in all honesty, I feel good. I had a 1.5 pound loss at Slimming World on Thursday. So I've got to keep the momentum up, and I need to lose weight before my wedding. I want to look best for the photos, of course, and hopefully get some more motivation for going out cycling in particular. I do need to go out and do that, folks. It's a necessity. So, other than that, guys and gals, Kieran is a-okay, and I'm looking forward to various Eurovision stuff now. I mean, this is the highlight of the season now. National finals and stuff, it's all coming around. We got Belarus and Georgia picking their songs just before the UK does. So that's something to look forward to for me on a lonely Saturday night up here in my office. But that's fine. I choose to do that if Rob lets me, of course. So we'll see how the rest of it goes. But obviously, guys, I'm happy. I am fine. And everything's A-okay. If you want to keep in contact with the latest news at the Eurovision Song Contest, then do download my podcast, The Eurovision Showcase. You can download it on this very channel. Also, as well, for the latest sort of like news articles, head over to escbuzz.com. All of the Eurovision news websites, which there are almost hundreds, I think, of them, they compact all of their news headlines into one nice compact website. It's brilliant, and it works really, really well. So and it's easy to use, so do check that out. Other than that, follow me on Twitter at ESC Showcase. Follow this podcast at Tuts Experience, and also follow my Eurovision show at ESC Showcase. Like our Facebook pages out there, guys, too. And hopefully it'll be nice to hear from you. Remember, you can email this podcast as well at Tuts. Sorry, that's Twitter, isn't it? Email tutsexperience@hotmail.com. Okay, tutsexperience@hotmail.com. It'd be great to hear from you. If you want to talk about anything in particular, it'll be great to hear from you. Eurovision, pro wrestling, politics, anything. It'd be great to hear from you guys. And this is it for me, Kieran Tuttiot, saying arrivederci, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, and have a nice day, and I'll see you soon. That was episode 60 of the Tuts Experience. And for you bonus material, guys, check out this.
Good afternoon, Hiddenwell.
Oh, hello, is that the plumbers?
Yes.
Oh, hello there. My name is Mr. Blair. I wanted to report a leak, please.
Mr. Blair?
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me whereabouts you are?
I'm just at home.
Oh, I see.
At number 10, and I needed to report a leak.
Yes.
It's quite a serious one.
Right.
In fact, it's resulted in an absolute torrent, and we're all up to our necks in it, believe me.
Right. So, whereabouts are you? You're number 10?
Yes, and I think the leak might have come from number 11. We're not sure yet.
Right, OK. Yes, you're number 10...
That's right. That's where I am.
You're number 10 what?
Do you not know?
Well, I have a feeling...
It's rather, a famous number 10, yes. Which I probably wouldn't want to
say.
The
okay.
on the phone, really.
But, okay. Well,
but you know which one it is,
yes,
to me.
Yes. If I could, can you give me a telephone number so I could get Mr. John Gibbons to ring you back? It should be about 5 or 10 minutes.
Right, okay. It's easy to remember.
Is it?
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
Yes.
0207.
0207, yes.
One.
One.
That's it. It's the first place, first number.
Hello, John here.
Hello there, the plumbers.
Yeah.
Hello, it's Mr. Blair, and I just needed to report a leak.
Okay.
And I wondered if you could help to deal with it.
I mean, whereabouts is this?
It's at number 10.
Number 10 where?
Well, you know, think of Mr. Blair and think of number 10, and you know, I suppose you come to a quick conclusion of where that is. I can't actually say over the phone for security reasons.
Okay.
But I just needed you to deal with it.
Yeah.
A very serious leak.
Yeah.
And I'm livid about it. Starry eyes.
Really? So, is it the back entrance or the front entrance?
Well, what I'm basically going to do, annoyedly, is find out who caused this leak, and then when we know that, you can get around here with your monkey wrench and shove it right up the...
Right, OK.
That sound fair?
Sounds great.
And that is from BBC Radio 4's comedy Dead Ringers with the amazing John Coleshaw. Yes, check them out, guys, at bbc.co.uk/radio4. That's it from me. Take care, and I hope you enjoyed that bonusy, that Brucey bonus there with a bit of a comedy clip. See you soon.